Good morning, this is Brian Trumbor with your Week in Review for Saturday, August 15th. After a spectacular four-week run in global equity markets, most everyone paused for a breather. Chinese stocks, for example, had their worst week since February, despite what most would agree was a flurry of good news there. July industrial production up 10.8%, July retail sales up 15.2%. Goldman Sachs raising its GDP outlook for the rest of 2009 and 2010. And even though July exports were down 23%, this was better than expected. But there is some concern that perhaps Goldman is wrong and that if the Chinese government slams on the brakes with regards to lending, then the economy could go into a stall and thus earnings forecasts would go out the window. It's also common understanding that much of China's spending on infrastructure, such as for more highways, isn't the best use of state funds. At least there's no inflation, with consumer prices off 1.8% versus year-ago figures, while producer prices are down 8.2%. But you don't necessarily want these trends to continue. Elsewhere in Asia, Hong Kong's GDP rose a solid 3.3% in the second quarter, breaking the back of its recession, while Singapore reaffirmed its own strong comeback but warned U.S. consumption must pick up to sustain any global recovery. For its part, Japan's exports rose in June over May. And then you had Germany and France exhibit positive growth in the second quarter, both up 0.3% when small decreases were forecast. The rest of the continent, though, remained quite punk, with the Eurozone as a whole down 0.1% and Russia's GDP crashing 10.9% in Q2. So, what of the United States? Data was fairly light, with July retail sales registering a disappointing 0.1% decline when a rise was expected, especially after cash for clunkers. While on Friday, the University of Michigan reading on consumer sentiment unexpectedly fell for August when a decent increase off July's level was forecast. So the combination of low sentiment, which some might blame on the negative focus given the White House's health care plans as much as on a still dour labor market, coupled with moribund retail sales isn't exactly amber waves of grain and purple mountains majesties above the fruited plains. The Federal Reserve, in opting to keep interest rates in line, offered in its accompanying statement that the U.S. economy had stabilized, but the Fed was still very cautious about the outlook owing to joblessness, home values, the consumer, and the ongoing credit squeeze. There was some good news on the real estate front, however. Yes, foreclosures rose 7% in July over June, with the usual suspects leading the way yet again, Nevada, California, Arizona, and Florida. But luxury home builder Toll Brothers saw its first increase in signed contracts in 4 years and now has its lowest cancellation rate in the last three. Plus, the National Association of Realtors noted that the median home price rose 4% in the second quarter over the first. On the healthcare front, the latest USA Today Gallup poll has 34% saying demonstrations at their local town hall meetings have made them more sympathetic to the protesters' views. 21% say they are less sympathetic. Independents, by a 2-to-1 margin, 35% to 16%, are more sympathetic. In a USA Today op-ed, House Republican leader John Boehner said, quote, "No one condones the actions of those who disrupt public events, but those in Washington who dismiss the frustration of the American people and call it manufactured do so at their own peril," close quote. Daniel Henninger, Wall Street Journal, "It's early. A lot of Mr. Obama's centrist admirers are no doubt willing to wait for their moderate man to emerge. I don't think that will ever happen. The moderates have nearly no presence in the administration, its agenda, or the congressional leadership. Maybe Larry Summers on paper. The president likes to talk to moderates, but he doesn't ask too many to work for him. The internal exile of Paul Volcker speaks volumes. Obama can't keep the moderate man conceit going indefinitely. Barack Obama's election victory margin is a slim base built on hopes and dreams. His approval is in decline. The hopes and the approval are going to evaporate so long as the content of his policies continues to uncouple from the persona he put across as a candidate. Ironically, the same thing happened to Obama's favorite punching bag, George W. Bush, who entered as a conservative standard bearer and then declined as the personality of his presidency on domestic policy lost focus. A lot of the Bush base drifted away. It can happen here. Daniel Henninger continues, if they get a big win on the health care bill, none of this matters. Then the Obama persona of campaign 2008 can reemerge to relive the independence impossible dreams in 2012. But from the looks of the last 2 weeks, they're not winning. Dorothy Rabinowitz, Wall Street Journal. The president has a problem. 4. Despite a great election victory, Mr. Obama, it becomes ever clearer, knows little about Americans. He knows the crowds. He is at home with those. He is a stranger to the country's heart and character. He seems unable to grasp what runs counter to its nature, that Americans don't take well, for instance, to bullying, especially of the moralizing kind, implicit in those speeches on health care for everybody. Neither do they wish to be taken where they don't know they want to go and being told it's good for them. Who would have believed that this politician, celebrated above all for his eloquence and capacity to connect with voters, would end up as president, proving so profoundly tone-deaf? A great many people is the answer, the same who listened to those speeches of his during the campaign searching for their meaning. It took this battle over health care to reveal the bloom coming off this rose, but that was coming. It began with the spectacle of the president impelled to go abroad to apologize for his nation repeatedly. It is not, in the end, the demonstrators in those town hall meetings or the agitations of his political enemies that Mr. Obama should fear. It is the judgment of those Americans who have been sitting quietly in their homes listening to him. That was Dorothy Rabinowitz of the Wall Street Journal. Yours truly is one of those described by Ms. Rabinowitz, sitting quietly in my home or office, listening, and not liking much of anything I hear our president say on the healthcare front as well as other topics. At least I gave him a shot. But then when it comes to healthcare, I'm mad at virtually everyone in this debate because I'm one of those getting totally screwed as I subsidize those who get their healthcare through their employers as well as those without insurance, according to all the studies. My monthly premium just went from $671 to $786, and I haven't taken a sick day since 1981. Haven't had the flu, nothing, for 30 years. Oh, there are cheaper policies I could get, but I wanted to use the doctors in the medical group I grew up with. Aside from a physical every 2 years, the only thing I've dinged the system for was my recent colonoscopy, which it appears my insurance paid about $1,600. Toss in $400 for the physical and blood work, and I put in $8,000 until the premium hike for $2,000 in benefits. Most years, I've contributed $5,000 to $7,000 for $400 or less. So, yes, something has to be done about the healthcare system, but it's not sweeping Obamacare. Let's see what happens when Congress returns in September, having been educated by the people. I suspect a totally new effort that will be a greatly watered-down version of what's already on the table, but enough for the president to declare victory. Turning to Wall Street, many are saying the market has run too far and that the fundamentals don't warrant the move we've witnessed. But each time they want to take stocks down, they seemingly bounce back, as in this past week, where even though the major averages are entitled to a breather, a nice summer vacation of their own, the Dow Jones, S&P 500, and NASDAQ all registered just fractional losses, with NASDAQ's 2009 gains still at 26%, while the S&P has advanced 11% this year. Heck, I'd be ecstatic if we just sat at existing levels for 3 months, until mid-November, by which time we'll have more clarity on earnings prospects for 2010, as well as the situation in Iran. I'm not giving up on this latter one's potential to be a game changer. I can then see a huge year-end rally the last 6 weeks or so. Bonds rallied, and in holding the line on interest rates at its open market committee meeting, the Federal Reserve offered that inflation will remain subdued for some time to come. It also stated it will slowly shut down one of the key emergency plans to rescue the economy, the buying of Treasury securities to keep mortgage rates low. Thankfully, with all the debt that is piling up, $1.267 trillion for the first 10 months of the fiscal year, 2008's $458 billion had been the all-time record on this front. The Treasury's auctions to finance said obligations have gone pretty well. For how long, no one knows for sure. That's it for this week. For further details, catch stocksnews.com, click on Week in Review, and I'll be back with you next Saturday, August 22nd. Have a great week.